So tonight, I may have another heavy topic. But something I have in my heart that, you know, when I think about brotherhood, about church, and I think honestly, the subject I have tonight is something I think a lot of our churches are really very weak on. And it causes problems in brotherhood. And without this concept of what I want to share on tonight, I want to do it with a gracious attitude. I've been there myself. I've failed in this multiple times. But without a proper concept of what we'll look at here tonight, what Brother Andy shared last night just isn't going to happen like it should. Call to closeness in brotherhood or relationships. And, you know, and also without a proper concept of what we want to share this evening, the picture he painted today of the relationships in the home is going to flow either. And it's a topic that sometimes is very, people react to. I will acknowledge that. I want to talk about authority this evening. Authority. And maybe that sounds scary. I want to tell you a little bit about two sisters. Two sisters. Both grew up in the same home. One sister, now I may not have all these details exactly straight. One sister got married outside her parents' blessings. And moved to a different church. And in the process of this time, that sister's husband passed away. Her other sister also married, but it was under her parents' blessings. And moved to a different place. In due time, that sister's husband also passed away. So the two sisters in some ways have a very similar story in some ways. But from the very beginning, the one sister never really understood a biblical understanding of authority. Married outside of authority. And then her husband passed away. And the church, there was some needs in the home there. Some drift in her life. The church sought to speak in and give some direction there into her life. She resisted that authority in her life. Moved to a different church. Things didn't go well there either. Children got older. They didn't respect her. Didn't see example of authority. Didn't see example of honoring authority in her life. When people spoke to her, her children, most of them, their lives spiraled. Today, you know, it's a very sad story. Her other sister, wasn't all wonderful there either. But this lady, she sought to humble herself. There was times the church spoke into her life as well. It wasn't always easy. There was need for changes at times. But this sister bowed her will, took direction, humbled herself, opened her life up, made changes where changes were needed. And God's blessing as a whole continued on that sister's life. And today most of her children are walking with the Lord. And I believe the other sister could have a very similar story if she would just learn this concept of honor, of living under the authority of her parents as well as the church. You know, when we live under authority, there's a blessing that goes with it. I want to apply this to both families, children being under authority, as well as in the brotherhood being under God's authority there as well. So those two areas as well. We'll kind of work at it together. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians 6. You all know this very well. So, two aspects of authority. Family authority in the home and brotherhood in the church. Ephesians 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. So notice here, young people, there's a blessing. When you honor your authority, God's blessing will follow you. And I've not got it all right. I've failed many times. But I'm very thankful that God helped me to bow my will and honor my mother I just feel like that there's so many blessings that have followed me as I've done that. You know, as young people, make it one of your top priorities to be able to come here to the marriage altar with a blessing of your authorities on your life. You'll not regret it. Not regret it. Walk in the blessing of your authorities. You know, there's no better feeling. I just say that maybe there is, but to be able to just to enter into establishing your own home with the blessing of your authorities on all sides. It's something to be cherished and gotten at any price. It's a blessing to be able to establish your home and know that God's smile, your parents' smile, your elders' smile is on your life. It's tremendous. I like to just mention my father. My father, he grew up, from what I understand, wrestling with his father. Things were not well there. My father was very strong-willed. And there was trouble growing up between him and his dad. He never learned this thing of authority in his life. Didn't honor his dad. Got married, established his own home. And it seemed like everywhere he moved to, there was church trouble. Church trouble. Church trouble. I still have memory of coming home from school, going upstairs and changing my clothes after school, and hearing him downstairs arguing with the bishop. Just almost sent chills through me to hear that. Wrestling with authority in his life. But I also remember him surrendering his life, and that changed. He learned to humble himself, ask for forgiveness. And that bishop's son-in-law, I worked with him, and he told me later on, the bishop's son-in-law told me that if anyone ever changed, it was my father. And he finally, late in his life, he came to a place where he surrendered his will, and he humbled himself. And God blessed him for that. The trail of difficulty that followed him because of an unbroken will. An unbroken will. Turn to Proverbs 6. Proverbs 6, verse 20. So if you can get this concept, young people, when you're young, the blessings of God will follow you. You'll have blessings as you establish your home. You'll have blessings as you walk in brotherhood. If you can learn to honor authority, and your older fathers and all of us here, let's make sure that we honor the authority that's in our lives. Because you know, none of us are out from under authority, are we? All of us have to humble ourselves and bow one to another, no matter where we find ourselves in life. We'll talk here about hearing reproof. Here are a few verses in Proverbs. Proverbs 6, verse 20. My son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thy heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light. And notice this phrase here. And reproofs of instruction are the way of life. How many of you want to walk in the way of life? Let me see your hands. Okay, well, if you want to walk in the way of life, you need to be willing to hear reproof. How do you feel when someone comes and brings a little correction to your life? Is it grievous to you? Do you say, thank you for that? I have flat spots in my life. I need that. Or do you react to that when someone comes and addresses something in your life? If you want to be in the way of life, you need to be willing to hear reproof. And let's just flip that phrase around. Not hearing reproof is what? It's the way of death. If you continually resist reproof, you're not in the way of life. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Listen to a few more. I'll read them just to you. Chapter 15, 31 and 32. The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul. But he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. You know, none of us are going to find, God, get my words mixed up. You know, if we're left to ourselves, we'll probably not make it. God put us in brotherhood because we need each other. And if we can't hear reproof, we're in bad shape. We're probably not going to make it. If you refuse instruction, you despise your own soul, and you probably won't make it to heaven. Proverbs 10:17, he that is in the way of life keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth. If your dad comes to you and says, son, I'd like for you to change this in your life. Daughter, I'm concerned about this area here. If you can't take that, you're on a bad road. Or if your minister comes to you and says, you know, we have concern about this in your life. We would like for you to change this. And you resist that. It's a dangerous place to be. It's a dangerous place to be. According to these verses, you're headed for destruction. Proverbs 15:10, correction is grievous to him that forsaketh the way. You know, if it's grievous to you when your dad or when your pastor comes to you and it's just grievous, it just grates on you, and why are they always picking on me, and why are they concerned about all this little stuff? If that's your reaction, according to this, you might be forsaking the way. Correction is grievous unto him. It's not grievous to the one who's walking the light, who realizes I need my brother, who wants to dwell together in close relationships. But if it's grievous to you, maybe you're not walking in the right way. Correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, but he that hateth reproof shall die. So how do you find it when correction it comes to you? I know it can be difficult. It can be. It can be difficult, but can we bow our will and take it? One more, 29 verse 1, he that being often reproved and hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. So, you know, if dad or pastors, he just keeps coming, you just harden your neck. Because you'll suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Rebellion is rooted in pride. God will resist the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Submission is rooted in humility. You know, if you're truly humble, if I'm truly humble, and someone comes and points out a need in my life, I'll receive that. But if there's a reaction in me, there's pride there. There's pride there. Only by pride cometh contention. So again, have I always gotten this right? No. No. I've had my failures in this. I talked about how I went down those stairs and opened up to my parents. And that was the beginning of a relationship with my parents. Sought to walk in the light. But you know, our relationship had been so non-existent that it wasn't just like it blossomed overnight. It wasn't that way. It was the air cleared. The air cleared, and there was no issues between us. But yet, there was still a lot of pride in my life, and I was critical of my father. You know, I compared him with Brother Denny or someone like that. He just didn't measure up. Or, you know, I'd been to Bible school, right? And I just saw a lot of needs in my father's life. And I was critical and proud. And it really hindered our relationship from bonding like it could have. So I'm very, very thankful that when he passed away that there was no issues between us. And I think it was growing. But yet, because of pride in my life and a lack of honor to him, it wasn't what it could have been. It wasn't what it could have been. But I'm thankful that there was no hidden things, no hard feelings, no sin. There, we were at peace with each other. But because of my proud, critical spirit, it hindered us from having that closeness of relationship. You know the verse in John, in 1 John, that says, I'll just read it here, 1 John 4:20. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how could he love God whom he hath not seen? Now, maybe I'm taking scripture out of context. And this is not what the verse is saying. But what the verse is saying is, it's saying, if I say I love God, but I can't get along with Sherwin here, and I just can't love him, I really don't love God, right? And I wonder, you know, I wonder if the same thing may apply to authority as well. You know, if I can't get along with my dad, and I don't honor my dad, can I really say I honor God? You know, I'm paralleling this with honor. If I say I honor God, I submit to God, but yet I don't submit to my father, am I really under God's authority? No. And if I can't honor my pastor, but I say I'm right with God, am I really right with God? And so I wonder if the same way with love, if this thing of authority isn't a parallel here. You ponder that. God says to honor them, and if we don't, we are dishonoring God. I really believe that. So just to get a little bit practical here, young person, I know this might be a mouthful for you, but young people, if you really, and I say this knowing that life is, I know that it's not all easy, and I remember back to some of my challenges. So I say this graciously because I was in your shoes too. But young person, God asks you to honor your father and mother. So listen to me. There should be no tension between you and your parents on, I list some things here, on the clothing you wear. There should be any tension there. You should be under their blessing. You should be willing to change whatever they ask you to change. There shouldn't be any tension between your parents on the friends you spend time with. There shouldn't be any tension on where you go in the evenings, on the weekends. No tension with the music you listen to, with the way you comb your hair, the vehicle you would like to have or do have. No tension between you and your parents on what you would like to do for work or any other area that crosses your will. If you can just, like Mickey said, that boy, yes, Father. If you can learn to walk in that way as a young person, God's blessings will come upon your life. It'll follow you. The blessings will pursue you into marriage, and your life will blossom. I can't remember the story completely, but I may not have it all right. But if my memory serves me right, there was a dad that was about to die, or maybe he was being martyred. And he was asked what his one wish would be for his son. If I remember the story correctly, his wish was, his prayer for his son was, that his son would honor authority in his life. You know, that was his father's wish, if I have the story correct. That was the thing that he wanted his son to, in leaving him, that he would learn to do. Honor authority in his life. Simply bow your heart. Honor your parents. Don't try to talk them into things. Honor their preferences. You know, there's a man that worked for my dad for a little while, and he was just real, you know, one of those guys that was just real good with words. And he'd be working out there for a while. He worked for us for just a little while. And then he would come back and ask my dad what he's supposed to do next in the job. And he's like, yes, sir, your wish is my command, he said. Your wish is my command. You know, so if you can learn to honor your parents' preferences, you know, instead of twisting their arm and getting them to say uncle and, grudgingly consent to what you put pressure on, honor their wishes. Honor their wishes. If you know your dad would prefer this, go ahead and do it. Go ahead and go the extra mile and bless him. God will bless you for it. Honor their preferences. You'll learn many valuable lessons and God will bless you. If you don't honor them, if you don't learn this in your youth, difficulty will follow you all through your life, just like my father, until you bow your will and surrender. You know, maybe they can't give you a verse in the Bible to prove it. And this applies also in brotherhood. You know, it can sound so spiritual to say, show me a verse in the Bible. But, you know, that can just be, that attitude can be pride and rebellion. It really can, stubbornness. It sounds, you know, well, show me a verse. You know, where does the Bible say that? You know, isn't that flesh? Isn't that self? Isn't that will? Is that really The honor, is that really honoring to your authorities to demand that they show, give you a reason? Maybe your parents, maybe your pastor can't give you a verse in the Bible to prove it, but they don't have to. They don't have to. Maybe it doesn't make sense to you, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't have to. If you can pass this test at home, you'll be well set for life. There was a young man who a while back at home was getting married in our church. And this young man had learned to bow his will to his dad. And he and his wife-to-be were about to get married there, and we were making wedding plans. And he came to us. I think his wife probably wanted it. His wife-to-be wanted it. And we hadn't, not that we had a problem with it. I guess videoing wasn't really very popular back then. Or we hadn't really videoed our weddings. And so he just came and said, you know, I just want to ask this. You know, if it's no, that's fine. If you say no, it's fine. But, you know, could we have our wedding videoed? But, you know, if not, that's fine. We're okay with that. You know, and you know, just that very willing attitude to take yes or no. Let me ask you a question. Do you think that young man will ever have church problems? Do you think if he can walk through life with that kind of attitude, he'll ever cause difficulty in church? I don't think so. Because that attitude enables you to have that close relationships. It enables you to have that, it enables you to play, what's the game? It enables you to play Dutch Blitz when you don't argue what the rules are. When you can blend and work together and be okay if it's a no. I'm sorry, but you know we're not comfortable with wedding with that. We did. We said sure, that's fine. Just you know, from the sound booth, you can video. That's fine. And we did, and we do that today. And but he would have been just fine if it was a no. And that young man, I doubt he'll ever wrestle with a church. Now, if that young man is in a church where he just feels, it really concerns me how our church. You know, the scripture says this right here, and it troubles me that we're not doing that. You know, there's a proper way with honor and respect to bless the church, but move on, go somewhere else. You know, that we're not married to our church, right? So you can still honor your authority and bless them where they are doing it good. And, you know, if you honestly feel. But you know, maybe explain. You know, I just it bothers me that you know that these verses here say this, and I just don't feel like we're doing that. And you know, and if they're not comfortable with making the change, you can bless them and move on. So there is a proper way to do that, and I've seen it done, and it's a blessing. And you can still have comfortable relationships. You can still bless them over there. They can still bless you over here. And there's not the tension and not the strife and the wrangling that can go on when we don't have this concept right. So you're not married to your church, but we can still honor. Oh, yeah. There's two young men I know. Both grew up in the same home. One, I see the blessing of God in his life. He got this down. Even still, just he's very careful to not make decisions without those over him, you know, checking in. You know, what do you think about this? He's very careful, and his life is blossoming, and he's influencing people, and God's blessing is very obviously on his life. This young man has a brother, and it's just, and the story is very similar to my father. He struggled from early on with this issue right here. And it's like it's dead end after dead end after dead end. And just difficulty. You know what happens when we don't honor authority? We feel like everyone's picking on us. We feel like everyone's against us. We feel like life's not fair. But really, it's our own fault. It's our own fault. It's like God told Cain, if you do well, won't you be accepted? And it's so easy to take a victim mentality and feel like that everyone's against me, but we are actually the one who are hurting ourselves. So parents, do your children a favor and make it normal for them to honor authority and bow their wills. You'll do them a favor for all their life. And I preach that to myself. God help me in that. I want to talk a little bit about church authority here. I was focusing a little more there on family and parental authority. You know, the Bible says that we are to submit to the ministry. Turn to Hebrews 13:17. And I believe this is honestly an area that many of our churches are very weak in. And I believe that we face... a big hindrance to our churches, this very issue of authority. I faced it. I failed in this area. I'm going to just share a little something now as you turn to Hebrews 13:17. Way back in the day, our church was smaller than this. And way back in the day, we didn't have any ordained ministry. Just had some moderators. And there was a time after Brother Grady moved off that Brother Mark Hurst and myself, I wasn't even married at the time. Yeah, it was kind of weird. It was kind of strange, but I wasn't, yeah, it was kind of strange. I wasn't married, was not married at the time, but we were asked to be moderators. So Brother Mark and I, moderators. And so time went on, and in the process of time, we had ordination there. And Brother Mark was ordained, and I wasn't, which I was fine with. That wasn't a problem to me. Okay, so now Brother Mark's ordained, right? He's been given authority. He's above me. He's an elder. I'm a brother. We're all brothers, but he's been, you know. And Brother Mark would make decisions sometimes. And I found myself in my heart still relating to him in the same way I had before. You know what I'm saying? Before we talked about things, you know, we're both moderators. And, you know, in some ways my opinion was about as valid as his was. You know, he's a little older than I was. But we, you know, I'd throw my idea out and he'd throw his idea out and we'd talk about it. But now he's ordained and I'm not. And God smote my heart. God convicted me of that. I went and apologized to him for that because I felt like I would challenge him sometimes in my heart. And I think a few times in words, nothing real dramatic. But I realized that I'm not obeying the scriptural principle of how we should honor those who are ordained. You get that? I was, you know, he would say something. And in my heart, I would challenge it. And I'd put my idea equal or maybe a bit above his. Is that how the Bible says to relate to those who are ordained? No. The Bible says we're to esteem them very highly in love. It says we're to give them double honor. It says we're to obey them. It says we're to submit ourselves to them. And brothers and sisters, I think way too much in our church, we're doing what I did. Pastor says something, expresses his concern, and we put our opinion equal to, maybe it's a tad above his, and it causes us to not be able to play Dutch Blitz. The game don't work because we're not obeying the rules. I'm not saying that the pastor's rules, but we're not obeying the rules of the game of how to do church. So some examples here. So that was my sin, and I went and confessed that to him, and I sought to obey the scriptures and esteem my brother Mark, who I used to be equal with, in many ways, above myself, and honor him. And it's not all been easy. It's a challenge to sometimes do that. But that's a scriptural example that we have here. Hebrews 13:17, obey them that have the rule over you. Who is that? Say it. How's that? It's the elders. Yeah. Those are the ones that it's talking about. Obey them that have the rule over you. So obey your elders. That's what it's saying. And submit yourselves. And what does it mean to submit yourself? Is it submission if you agree? It's not. No. Submission is, I see it differently, but I'll humble myself. That's submission. Submission is when the brothers decide to cut your favorite tree down out here, you show up for the work day and you sink your chainsaw in that thing. That's submission. You know, if, you know, I heard a story like that about this brothers meeting, and this one man was a tree hugger, and or he loved the trees. They decided to cut that one tree down, and it went against him 110%. But on the day that was set, he was there, one of the first ones there with his chainsaw. That's playing the game, brothers. That's playing Dutch Blitz. That's obeying the Bible. It is. Obey them to have the rule over you and submit yourself to them. It's not submission if you agree. It's not submission if you agree. Submission is when you see it differently, but you humble yourself. Why? For they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable to you. 1 Peter 5:5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourself unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. And so, you might think that the elders have it all easy. They just sit back in the easy chairs, they call the shots. Everybody has to listen to them. Jump when they say jump. Sit down when they say sit down. You know, it's a hard job being an elder. It really is. It's a hard job. And you know, honestly, elders have to submit one to another. At home in our ministry, there's 3 elders, 4 deacons, is that right? Now, and we're about to have another ordination, and we're planning to do a church outreach here. And so, you know, that gets quite a few people there. And in many ways, we work hard to stay together. Honestly, in the ministry team, we don't always see it all alike. And in the ministry team, we have to do this very thing. Submit to each other. Be honest. You know, sometimes it's hard to be honest. Sometimes, you know, sometimes you might struggle with how your fellow minister sees something. You think, is that really right? And you have to talk about it. You have to work on it. And you have to submit yourselves one to another. And because if we can't stay together, we can't lead. And so we also, just like you all, if I can say it that way, we also have to practice this very thing of brotherhood in a mini way, in a small way. We have to stay together if we are to lead the flock. So we have to practice these very same things and hear each other, stay united, pray together, work together, give it time, and try to be able to lead in a united way. And we have to be clothed with humility. 1 Thessalonians 5:12-13, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you. That is the ministry. To know them which labor among you, they're over you in the Lord, and they admonish you. And to what? Esteem them very highly in love. You know, we should never have an attitude of, what right does he have to say that? Very highly in love. Very highly in love. That's what smote my heart. That's what convicted me. That's why I went to Brother Mark and apologized. Because I realized I was not obeying these verses. Very highly in love for their work's sake. And be at peace among yourselves. That makes the game work. Makes the game be able to play. One more here, 1 Timothy 5:17. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. So, and I hope you don't grab a hold of that loophole and say, well, he doesn't rule well, so I'm not going to honor him. I don't believe you should do that. That's not honoring your authority. I believe your elders here seek to rule well. They say they're seeking to do their best. You should give them double honor. So what does it mean to give them double honor? I don't know. But it's definitely, you give them, you're to honor all your brothers, right? You know, Brother Joseph here, he honors Brother, I can't think of your name now, Albert. He's to honor, Brother, he's to honor and respect Brother Albert here. But Joseph should give twice as much honor to Brother Steve. You know, double honor. Isn't that what it means? That's what it looks like to me. You should give double the honor to the elders. You know, when a brother in a church resists input, correction, and direction in his life and is not teachable, things will not turn out right. I could give you names. A brother who just resists input, correction, and direction in his life is not teachable. Things will not turn out right. This brother will bring much difficulty to himself and to his family and will cause difficulty wherever he goes. And I won't give you names, but that's what happens. Okay. I'm going to switch back a little bit to parental. Maybe I'm not getting this all in the right order. I'm sorry. Bear with me. But I think about Jesus. You know, we sing the song this evening, Lord, I want to be a Christian. The last verse said, I want to be like Jesus in my heart. I want to be like Jesus in my heart. You know, and we sing a song, you know, I want to be a Christian. We don't always maybe realize what all entails in being a Christian. I believe this is part of being a Christian here. And I believe it's also part of being like Jesus in our heart. Years ago, I was really struck by two passages of Scripture in the life of Jesus. You know, I think that, you know, Jesus, you know, maybe he had a special, you know, you think of Jesus coming and living here on the earth, you'd think that wouldn't have to go through the same avenues we have to go through. You know, think maybe he would have some, you know, maybe some exceptions. And, you know, maybe some, but it seems like that he didn't. It seemed like he had to go through the same, walk the same path we walk. And he chose to do that. He chose, it says, in all points to be like his brethren. But I think about the story of Jesus, and you know, when he's there, 12 years old, and I don't want to say anything wrong about his divinity. I don't know how it all happened, so just bear with me here. I wonder if he was beginning to wake up to who he really was. You know, maybe it's bad to say it that way. But he's 12 years old, and he's realizing that, okay, Joseph and Mary, they're my parents, but yet God is my heavenly Father. And he's realizing that God, you know, though he grew up a boy and a baby and a boy, and he's getting older, he's realizing God's call on his life. And something rises up in the heart of this young boy, young man, to obey his father. And he's realizing God's call on his life. And they go down there to the temple there, and he goes into the temple, and you know, this is where the people of God, you know, this is where our elders and the doctors and those that study the Word of God, this is where they are. And he goes in there and he's asking them questions and listening to them. And he's realizing that God has a work for him to do, and he's excited about beginning this work. And his parents leave, and they realize after a few days that he's not with them, and they go back and find him. So was it time or was it not time to start his ministry? It wasn't time. Did God have a work for him? Yeah, but it wasn't time. Who did God use to show Jesus it wasn't time? It was his authorities. It was his parents. It was his authorities. You know, it seemed like God could have just told him that personally, right? But God had his son walk in a very similar way that he has us walk, using authorities in his life to guide him. Let's fast forward 18 years. Now he's 30 some years old. 33, was that what it was? 30 years old. 12 to 30 is 18 years, right? So now it's 18 years later, so he's there waiting 18 years. I believe he's seeking God. I believe he's prospering. I believe God's blessings on his life. It says he grew in wisdom and stature and was in favor with God and man. God blessed him for that humility, that though it was good desires, right? It was a good desire, but yet he submitted himself to authority in his life. And he just waited year after year after year, took about 18 years. When is God going to call me to this work? Then I guess one of their friends gets married. He goes to this wedding there in Cana. And they're there at the wedding. And then his mother comes to him and says, "Jesus, they're out of wine." He's like, "Well, yeah, okay, why? What about it?" And, I gather he realizes that his mother is wanting him to use. I'm not sure what she expected of him. But it seemed like he's realizing that his mother is pushing him forward to begin his work. And he turns to her and says, "Woman, my hour hasn't come. I'm still waiting." But she pushed him into it. She says, "Whatever he, servants, whatever he says, y'all, you do it." She pushes him into ministry. That was his first miracle. And that this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. So God used authority to tell Jesus to wait, and God used authority to tell his son that it's time. Young people, honor authority in your life. God hides himself and God works through authority. He does. And in church as well. If you buck and kick against authority, whether it be in the home or in the church, God's blessing will not be in your life. Jesus, as he did that, he grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. And God used his mother in his life. And Jesus began, he began his ministry. He began his ministry. Absalom versus Solomon. Absalom rebelled against his father. Did it go well with him? No. How did Absalom end up? Okay, so what did he do? There was a king, and there was a son. And the son tried to kick his father, king, out and rule in his place, take over the kingdom. You know, and our dads aren't kings, and our elders aren't kings. But we can have that same, "I'm going to do my own thing" attitude that Absalom had. We can have that same rebellious, stubborn attitude that Absalom had. How did Absalom end up? He ended up hanging from his head by a tree with darts through his heart. "That it may go well with thee, thou mayest live long on the earth." God's blessing did not follow Absalom. What about Solomon? How did he do it? You think about Solomon. I don't know where he was. Maybe he wasn't very old. I don't know where Solomon was during Absalom's rebellion. But later on in life, we find him, and he obviously was old enough to be king. And God had promised to David that that Solomon would be the next king. That he was to be the next king. But David's getting old, he's getting feeble, they know he's about to die, and it seems like he's not really able to rule very well anyway. And Adonijah, one of the other boys, he says, "I'll be king." He goes off down there somewhere, and he makes this celebration, and he proclaims himself king. And Joab actually joins with him. It's amazing. Joab joins with him. What was Solomon doing that time? Was Solomon trying to promote himself? Solomon was just sitting there quietly waiting. Nathan the prophet, his mother, going to David and say, "David, didn't you say that Solomon's to be the next king?" "Yeah." "Well, Adonijah's taken over. And Solomon allows, you know, he didn't push himself forward. He didn't say, 'Wait a minute, Adonijah, I'm supposed to be king,' and then a war break out." He let his authorities push him forward. And with the blessing of God, the blessing of his father, the blessing of the prophet, he takes the throne, and God blesses his life. Humbly waiting and not promoting himself like his brothers did. Honoring authority. Whom did it go better for? For Absalom, Adonijah, or Solomon? It went better for Solomon. You know, and I'll say this here too. My heart goes out to some of you. I know that some of you are in very difficult places. Some of you, when a message like this comes, you don't know what to do with it. Because maybe your parents aren't walking with the Lord. And a message like this rocks your boat. My heart goes out to you. God bless you. You can still honor. You can still respect them for who they are. And God can provide you other godly authorities to give you direction as well. God give you wisdom, walk in the light, open yourself up, and get counsel of how to walk forward in these things. I don't want this to in any way put condemnation on anyone who may find themselves in a situation like that where there's not godly parents in your life. Those things are very difficult. But we can feel like a message like this can be a real killjoy. I'm just going to be this puppet on a string. When he says jump, I'll jump. And, you know, just whatever you say. You know, and just, it can look like it's just a road of death. A road of death. But I want to assure you that's not the case at all. The game can be very enjoyable. The game can be very enjoyable. Remember Christian, I think that one clip I played was when he was walking down, as he went down that hill, and then he met Apollyon, and yeah, that valley was a very difficult valley, but it was that way because of the... pride in his heart. And he had that major battle with Apollyon. But you know, later on, when his family came through that same place, and they pointed out to him, right here's where your father fought that fierce battle with Apollyon. I think they found some blood on the rocks and stuff, even some scuffed up ground. It was an intense battle. And it was because of pride in Christian's heart that he faced those difficulties there in that valley of humility. But as his family walked along, you know, later, and they looked around and said, this is a very fruitful valley. You know, it's peaceful here. It's restful here. I mean, look, there's all the crops are so abundant here, and the birds sing. It's beautiful, and they said, yeah, even the king will pay a reverse tax to those who live here in this valley. And there's this, and there's so many blessings there. And they found the valley instead of a difficult place. They found a very fruitful place filled with blessings. And brother, if you learn to walk in humility with your authorities, you'll find that valley to be a very fruitful place. Your life will blossom. God's blessings will overtake you. The game will be enjoyable. You'll not be a puppet on a string. Your opportunities will open up to you as you humble yourself and you join your heart with the heart of your elders. And you pull with them instead of against them. God's blessings will open up. And you'll find yourself with more, with just opportunity after opportunity to bless and serve and be a blessing to your church. You really will. The game will go well. The game will go well. Humility is a very fruitful valley. There's a blessing in freedom with being under authority. You know, I enjoyed being a deacon more than an elder in many ways. I really did. Deacons don't have any other responsibility. A deacon can say, and Leonard copies me with this. One thing I liked about being a deacon was I could sit there at the minister's meetings, I could listen to the discussion, and if I had something in my heart, I could say it. And they could say, but I'm just a deacon. Y'all have to make the decision. And that's so freeing. You know? And you members can have that privilege. You're not going to be held responsible in near the same way that the elders will. You can share your opinion, then you've shared it. Then you can let the ultimate decision to them. There's a freedom, and there's a blessing there with that. I love that, but now they look to me, and I have to, you know, and it's big. It's big. I'd rather be a deacon. I would. God gives grace to the humble. I've seen young people. The sister I think of right now. I've just seen her life blossom as she began to walk this way. She comes to say, is there anything in my life that concerns you? You know, open herself up. And just, you know, I think she's probably going to be getting married soon, probably. You know, because there's just a beautiful young lady developing there as she just walked in openness, transparency. It's beautiful. Think of another young couple that that is just also the very same way. They just, you know, you see their life blossom as you do this. You know, I mentioned to you, how do I say this? One of the things that I think about, where I felt like the blessing God came upon me, is because after I had some disappointments, and one very big disappointment in pursuing marriage, left me feeling kind of gutted. I gave it some time, and I recovered. But my mother was the one that mentioned my wife to me. She says, "Have you ever considered Darlene Hostetler?" Well, no, I hadn't. And whereas before I tried to make it happen, I tried to make it happen, and just boom, just fell flat. In this situation, it's almost like I was standing aside, watching it happen without any effort on my part. It was all just click, 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 fell in place. It was my mother that first mentioned that to me. and as a young person, I just so much appreciated just being able to have to honor my mother. Sit up at nights talking, just sharing hearts, and having someone to go to for input in our lives, and when I face difficulties, and just to be able to have someone, we need that in our life. Young people, you need that in your life. You need a coach. You need a personal counselor. And God gave you that in your parents. And so pursue that. And older men, we need that in our life. We're not going to make it alone. And God gave us pastors to be that in our life. Go to them. Ask advice. Get input. Walk with them. Get to know them. The Bible puts a responsibility on you to know them. Know them. Get to know their heart. Get to know their vision and seek to embrace that and help accomplish that. That's your calling, not to resist. We need that in our life. It's a sign of immaturity if we don't value counsel and advice from our parents or from our pastors. God often hides himself in our authorities. He uses them to lead us into his will for our life. The blessing of bowing the will and humbling myself, there's rest in surrender. I've seen young people who just think, it's just so hard. It's just so hard, How can I please everybody? And it's just so hard. I think it was Amy Carmichael or someone who said that in surrender, there's rest. And when my father stopped arguing, he bowed his will and surrendered. That's when he found peace. In surrender, there's rest. So I don't know where you find yourselves. I don't know you all here. But I know the human nature. And wherever there's difficulties, there's pride. Only by pride cometh contention. So I don't know where you find yourself this evening. But perhaps the Lord is convicting you of some lacks of honoring authority in your life. Maybe as a young person, maybe as an older person. Perhaps you've been clashing with your parents or your ministry. I would invite you to join me in humbling myself, as I did to Brother Mark there, going back and apologizing. I'm sorry. I'm not walking as I should under your authority. So, God bless you. I hope you can experience the blessings of that valley of humility, a very fruitful place. Hope you can enjoy the blessings of playing the game as you all follow the rules of the game. God bless you, and may the Lord add his blessing. Hope I can be an encouragement. I don't want to bring it some heavy thing, but I just know that we're all human. We all have that pride in our heart. And we all can really find difficulty in humbling ourselves. So God bless you.